And now, meine Damen und Herren, Mesdames et Messieurs, Ladies and Gentlemen, the Kit Kat Club is so happy to welcome back an old friend. I give you the toast of Mayfair, Fräulein Sally Bowles!
What good is sitting alone in your room? Come hear the music play. Life is a cabaret, old chum. Come to the cabaret. Put down the knitting, the book and the broom. Time for a holiday. Life is a cabaret, old chum. Come to the cabaret. Come taste the wine.
Good evening, Jennifer.
Good evening, Ed.
Good evening, Josh.
Hey, there we go.
We did it.
Welcome to the Idle Review with Josh, Jen, and Ed. I am Josh.
The Idle Review? Gleeful.
Oh, did I say Idle Review?
Gleeful. Oh my God.
Welcome to Gleeful.
I'm gleeful.
Welcome to Gleeful, a Glee podcast. I am Josh.
I'm Jen.
I'm Ed.
There we go. See, we'll just say it twice. Welcome to Gleeful, a Glee podcast, where we will be discussing the fifth episode of the Fox blockbuster giant madness show Glee, entitled The Road's Not Taken, named after our guest star this week, April Rhodes, performed by Kristen Chenoweth, the lovely Kristen Chenoweth. Yes, we love Kristen Chenoweth. Ed, do you love Kristen Chenoweth enough?
I am not as familiar with her work as you are, as you seem to be, but my friends who I was watching it with last night were freaking out when I told her that she was going to be on. She's like, you mean that girl from Pushing Daisies? I'm like, aww. You mean that show that got canceled? Yeah.
Ed, if you're not nice, we're going to have your friend as the host next week.
Seriously.
We will replace you with the host.
Miss Kristen Chenoweth just won an Emmy for that role.
We will.
Yeah, and then,
did she
yeah.
really?
She just won
yeah,
an
she
Emmy.
Did.
She's, and it was funny because her it was either the acceptance speech or backstage with the press. And she said, thank you so much. I really appreciate this. This is great. I'm not working right now. And I really like Mad Men. Thank you very much. So she started naming these shows that she really likes and wants to be on.
That's awesome. Well, you know, Ed, I just want you to know that if we were to replace you, we would at least take a vote. And you would get a vote. So
we're replacing Ed.
I think we should do it proportionate to population of our fan base.
Oh, okay.
Ed, I'm not voting you off, so unless you vote yourself off, you're safe.
See, I'm kind of masochistic, so I wouldn't be surprised if I was the deciding vote.
Well, wow, that was way off topic. We opened with Cabaret here. Obviously we have to apologize because, gosh, we got a lot of email. Apparently everybody picked up on the fact that the play that Rachel was performing in was Cabaret, except for us.
Yes.
So thank you to everyone who emailed us about that. Gosh, the list is quite long. Dominique and Stella... and I think Michael. So yes, lots of that. So thank you very much.
I even got a few. That's how many millions of them we got.
Wow. And these are just the ones that bothered to call us on it. So.
Exactly. So thank you very much for emailing us about that. And we got some other emails that we will discuss a little later in the show. If you'd like to email us, we have a new email address, which is very exciting. Oh. It is gleefulpodcast@gmail.com.
Nice.
Yeah, so you can email us at gleefulpodcast@gmail.com, and that will, you know, that'll come to us, and we will discuss on the show. And it's a great way to take part. We always encourage listeners to take part in the show.
And so, we appreciate the feedback of stuff that we've missed or misspoke on.
Yes, the email from Dominique was really cool. I wanted to hit on a couple nice things that she said. First of all, she threw out that She counts four of the main recurring cast members all appeared on Heroes. So where we've said in the past that these guys kind of are all kind of coming out of nowhere, she was like, actually, a lot of them have worked before and all on the same show. So,
yeah.
So okay. That was that's nice to know. Obviously, Stephen Tobolowsky was a big character in the second season. He was Kristen Bell's stepfather.
Kristen Bell's, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. He's just always going to be Ned Ryerson to me.
Ned
Ryerson.
Oh gosh, from
Groundhog Day.
So, does he play Sandy Ryerson in this show too?
Well,
Ned
Ryerson.
I'm Ned Ryder. Who's Ned?
What is Stephen Tobolowsky's last name in this show?
We'll just go.
I don't see him.
I just see Sandra.
She's not on IMDb. I'm freaking out.
That's so weird.
He plays Sandy Ryerson.
Wow.
And his character name in Groundhog Day was, let's check it out.
I thought it was Ned Ryerson.
We're going back here. We're going back.
Way back.
Way back.
Get in the Wayback Machine.
Wow. Yeah, I'm not even close. I'm going to have to search for it. Groundhog. Mm-hmm. He was just Ned.
Ned.
But I think you're right. I think his character name in Groundhog Day was Ned Ryerson.
Click it because that'll show you his quotes.
No.
Oh, okay.
Doesn't say.
Anywho.
Well, so.
I could be making it up.
So, yes. Let's see. Back to Dominique's email. She had commented that, Jesselyn Gilsig had a role in the first and third seasons as Claire's biological pyrokinetic mother.
Yep.
On Heroes, as well as Jayma Mays was in three episodes of season one as doomed waitress Charlie.
Oh, and she was also.
I cried when she died.
Yeah. But she was also Charlie in Ugly Betty. And she was evil Charlie in Ugly Betty.
Which one are we talking about?
Emma?
Emma! You're right.
Emma Pillsbury.
Yeah. That's what someone else was telling me the other day.
Yeah.
She's like, isn't that the person from Ugly Betty who you hated?
Yes.
And Deanna Agron had an arc in season two as well as a bitchy cheerleader.
Oh, I think she's the cheerleader that Sylar confused Claire with.
Yes.
Oh, and then killed.
And then killed. Accidentally. Yes.
Yes, I remember that. Maybe.
There you go.
She plays bitchy and cheerleading well.
There you go. She fits the outfit.
Hayden Panettiere built a career off it. Why not?
That's very true. Dominique continues on her path of correcting us by commenting that people are often reminded of the show Popular when discussing Glee, which was also created by Ryan Murphy. I did not know that. And that Tina's last name, in the past we just called her Tina C. Mm-hmm. Tina's last name is Cohen Chang, which is a great hyphenate.
Yes.
So thank you very much, Dominique from Montreal, Canada.
Well, thank you.
Very nice. And we'll try to get to some other emails in the show. But thank you so much. If you'd like to email us, you can do so at gleefulpodcast@gmail.com. So thank you very much for that. So episode 4, The Road's Not Taken, Kristen Chenoweth.
5.
God, I did that last week too.
And I'm giving Josh the hand signal again.
Ed, what did you think of episode 5?
I was contemplating this question since you were going to ask me at some point. I would like to say frustrating. It was overall, I would say frustrating, but the most shocking part of this episode, hands down, was not only did we see Quinn and the other cheerleaders in a different outfit, we saw them in two different outfits. That was the most shocking thing, hand down, to this
now
episode.
Now you mean other than costumes, or have other we still
than,
only
other,
seen them?
No, other than cheerleading outfits.
Right, so they still haven't been in just street clothes.
No. No,
oh,
cheerleader,
okay.
Cowboy for last name, and then that blue ensemble.
I will admit, during the blue, during one of the, when they were getting dressed at the end of the episode, and they were all in the blue shirts when Rachel came in, I did not recognize Quinn at all. I just thought there was a random blonde
a
woman
blonde,
I didn't recognize.
Yeah.
Blonde, you know. You can say that about the guys, because we still don't know two of them at all, but you can't say that about the girls.
That's a good point.
At least the cheerleaders, you kind of got some sense of who they were with their dealings with Sue. So, you know they're evil.
Yes. Jennifer, what was your read on episode 5?
I really enjoyed it. I mean, we just watched it, and I really enjoyed it because of all the music. I am concerned about the choices that Finn is making. I didn't think he had that in him without a lot of coaxing and assistance. And what else? And then about, you know, the rumor of Quinn's pregnancy spreading so fast is pretty crazy.
Yeah, I thought they'd hold back on that for another episode or two.
And I adore Kristen Chenoweth. So
yeah.
So overall, yeah, I really enjoyed it. Really enjoyed it.
I liked it a lot too. You know, I think for me in the past, I've complained that there were too much going on in each episode. There was too much stuff happening. I was okay with the amount of stuff that happened in this episode. I thought it was just enough of each storyline to kind of keep it going. Mm-hmm. They weren't, obviously, we only had like one line from Sue in the entire episode.
But she was brilliant on screen.
It was a great line if I can find it somewhere. So, yeah, let's see. When I heard Sandy wanted to write himself into a scene as Queen Cleopatra, I was aroused and then furious. So, as much as like, I think it's just kind of something that we're going to have to deal with. There's just too many characters to get them into every episode. I don't know. Right. For me, I really enjoyed what, the scope of this one and the pace of it, and that we got lots of music. There were like four big songs in the show.
I really enjoyed the music, and I loved how they did April and Rachel at the same time doing Everybody Loves a Winner.
Maybe This Time.
Maybe This Time. Whatever.
Maybe This Time.
You knew the song, I meant.
But for you, Ed, you think there just wasn't enough going on?
Well, for me, maybe it's just because I was very frustrated with the character of April. And maybe there just wasn't enough Terry's sister for seeking my evil quota. And there wasn't enough Sandy. And what Sandy we had, I didn't like. Yeah. Sue was amazing as always.
Yeah.
And there was just not enough. And there was no principal. I mean, there was. But
yeah,
it was nothing. It was just I enjoyed the pace of. This is probably my least favorite episode.
Wow. Really?
Okay. And I'm curious to now hear from other people because, like I said, I tried to avoid Facebook today because when I looked at it the first thing this morning, a few people's status had already commented on Glee, and one of them just said weird. And I was, okay, I don't want to read into this or anything. And again, we just watched it, so I really haven't even had time to kind of process it. But overall, I really enjoyed it. And maybe it is, you know, for selfish reasons because there was more singing, and I really like Kristen Chenoweth. And
Well, yeah, that's so kind of crazy.
I don't know. I mean, okay, the characters that I really liked, Sandy, there was very little of him, and he was just straightforward, evil and mean. Sue, great but short. No Terry. I kind of want to know.
There was a little bit of Terry.
I mean, she's just
occupied Terry.
Yeah.
Well, let's take a listen to some of the songs you'd mentioned maybe this time, which was kind of a duet of all things with Kristen Chenoweth and Lea Michele. Here's a bit of Maybe This Time. This is from Cabaret, which we also opened up here. Here we go.
Maybe this time, for the first time, love won't hurry away. He will hold me fast. I'll be home at last. Not a loser anymore like the last time and the time before. Everybody loves a winner, so nobody loved me. Lady Peaceful, what I long to be. All the odds are there in my favor. Something's bound to begin. He
my inner musical theater geek is like fell in love.
Oh.
This particular thing. And not even my outer musical theater geek was in pretty good heaven with this duet here. It's a great song, and what I really liked about it is that it captured where both of those characters were at that moment, and it was cool to draw that parallel between these two characters, since we know that to a certain extent what April represents is what Rachel is kind of afraid
could
she
be.
Will become,
and
it most likely will if she's not careful. So, but we should probably dive right into the whole plot of April Rhodes and what she represented. She was brought in because she had not yet graduated high school, and Mr. Schuster brought her in as kind of a trump card for the Glee Club. And so that's kind of what she was there for. She was an alcoholic and had some really funny stuff with Kurt.
Well, with everybody. I think she was really great.
But it was an interesting storyline. What I liked about it is there was kind of some fresh blood, and was able to kind of play on each of the different characters' kind of neuroses. You know, she was able to play on Kurt's insecurity. Mm-hmm. She was able to play on Puck's, you know, cougar obsession. I found it really entertaining. Ed, what did you think of the April Rhodes plotline this week?
I mean, it moved it along well, and it's not exactly how I thought it was going to turn out. I thought somehow, magically, it's like, oh, well, this is perfect. April could just take Cabaret, and Rachel could go to Glee. But I don't know. I think it was good, I guess. I guess it made people appreciate Rachel more. I don't know. I wasn't in love with it. I think I was turned off. Like, I was like, oh my God, she's so successful in this house. And then, you know, how it turns out. So
that was really funny. She was in a house and it turned out that she was
squatting. There was context too. It's like, oh, I just opened up a new box of wine. I'm like,
oh yeah.
Wine? Really? In a house like that? Really?
So classy.
Yeah. And when he emailed her, hey, you know, do you remember me? I'd like to talk to you. And her response was like an address, bring buffalo wings.
Yeah. Yeah. He never brought buffalo wings.
He didn't. I totally noticed that. I thought, yeah, I really liked her character. And I also liked what she represented to Mr. Schuster, you know, giving us a little background on who Schuster was without having to make him the focal point of the episode. Mm-hmm. We were able to keep the focus on the kids, but we were able to get a little background on like who Schuster was. And I love the scene with him and Emma where she was like, so you have been attracted to someone other than your wife, like so excited that there was at one point another woman.
There's a possibility that he could have feelings for somebody else.
Yes.
Speaking of Emma and, Mr. Schuster, why wasn't Terry at the Invitational? Like, he was all smitten with Emma, which was cool.
Oh, I did notice that.
Well, you know, pregnant women are tired, I guess.
Okay, she just ate four things of grasshopper pie. It does not make her pregnant. It makes her tired.
Yeah. Oh, maybe that's her strategy. Maybe she's gonna gain weight and pass it off as a baby.
Yes, I totally thought about that when she was eating. And when Schuster called her on it and said, hey, why aren't you having morning sickness?
God, and that's crazy.
Yeah.
Well, the other thing that I liked about April's character is, other than the entertainment, because she did three numbers, which was great, and just all of her other screen time was really funny. I did like that it kind of, you know, with Emma's assistance, Mr. Schuster was able to see what his role was with the Glee Club. That it really isn't about him, and that he needs to focus on the group and the actual personal development of each of the students and not just winning awards and trophies at any cost. So,
yeah, one of the recurring themes as far as Mr. Schuster's character is on the show is him kind of coming to terms with the fact that he is not the performer anymore. He needs, you know, and this isn't about victory. It's about his leadership and helping these kids. Yeah, nurturing and such.
Yeah.
So, you know, at the end of the episode, April wandered off and said, you know, maybe I'll find another dream, and we'll have that great line. Well, there's always Branson.
That's where all the American Idols go, right?
Yeah, seriously. But yeah, so for people that don't know, Branson, Missouri is kind of
it's southern Vegas. It's the Vegas of the Midwest.
Yeah.
And Taylor Hicks was headlining there, I think, for about 6 months.
Yeah. Supposedly, it's like if you're not big enough for Atlantic City, you play Branson.
Ooh.
Like, if you're not big enough for Vegas, but you're not also not big enough for Atlantic City, you play Branson. I could be wrong. I could have my ordering. It might be above Atlantic City.
I would hope so, because I've been to Atlantic City. Yeah.
But, I mean, so it ended with her kind of wandering off. I'm very curious to see if we're going to get more of that character, if she's going to come back or if she just kind of did her task and moved on.
Yeah.
Well, like, we never know because, like, she isn't listed under any more episodes right now, but there's the whole new 9 episodes that are coming out.
Plus, that's true.
Plus 6 seasons to follow, Fox.
So. 6 is a, wait, what? 6 seasons?
Are you sending that out subliminally to Fox?
Yes.
You're putting that out into the world.
Oh, oh my God. Oh, but if it lasts more than 3 years, that means no Rachel Berry. Oh,
yeah, they'll start to graduate. Exactly.
Fail her. Fail her. She might be valedictorian, but fail her. They did it for that guy at Carmel. It totally worked out for him. He's the only one who can do the triple backflips.
That was a great line.
See, I thought when Will started to have that grin on his face and then that soap opera-like organ music started playing behind him, which, you know, totally signals drama.
Yep.
I thought he was going to rat this kid out.
Yeah.
I didn't think he was going to go the other way.
Yeah, I really thought that plot was going to be him trying to tear down Vocal Adrenaline and get rid of their ringers rather than try to attach one himself. So after that, we got a performance of Kristen Chenoweth and Matthew Morrison doing a duet of Hearts Alone.
Sure.
One of these great karaoke scenes that you see in movies now all the time. There was one in Fame the other night.
Yeah.
Where characters just go to karaoke and do something amazing. I've never seen it, but
there was one scene yesterday. Well, you did. Josh and I went to Idlewild in California, and he was a star at karaoke to the point where girls were driving by the next day saying, "Josh, you were great last night."
You're very generous. Here's a bit of Kristen Chenoweth and Matthew Morrison doing the full version of Alone.
You don't know how long I have wanted to touch your lips and hold you tight. Yeah. You don't know how long I have waited, and I was gonna tell you tonight. But the secret is still mine.
Such a good song.
You know what I just realized is that they did. I know. Alone isn't a Carrie Underwood song, but they did 2 Carrie Underwood-ish numbers tonight.
Oh, that's true.
I totally was gonna mention that, but I was like, Ed's gonna take that one for me. I know
that's
Ed's gonna mention
awesome.
That.
Well, it's funny. Like watching this performance on the show, I kept thinking, "There's not enough Mr. Schuster." So I'm glad at least on the soundtrack they have the full version.
Yeah, this one definitely got cut out. We pretty much just got the opening verse and the opening chorus.
Yeah.
But it was a cool moment. Yes, Ed, this was Carrie Underwood's seminal performance in season 6. Season 6?
4.
4.
Oh my God.
Wow, I wasn't even close. Season 4.
Don't kill yourself. She's a button-faced angel sent to deliver us platinum records.
good point. Yes, and then
wow.
Last Name was a single off of her last album, Carnival. But That's pretty funny, actually. It's funny how we're on season 9, and every time a girl has a big moment on American Idol, they're like, yeah, but it's not like Carrie Underwood doing Alone. You haven't gotten there yet.
Before Carrie Underwood Alone, there was Fantasia Summertime and Kelly Clarkson Without You. So, I don't know.
Well, the other thing, too, is now anybody does Alone on the show, it's like, oh, just not as good as Kelly Clarkson. Carrie Underwood,
yeah. We should talk a bit about the continuing evolution of Rachel Berry in the Glee Club. She pretty much quit the play and joined Glee Club about 3 times in this episode. Spurred partially by Finn and partially by Sandy's treatment of her. Now, starting with Finn, you know, Finn, this was a side of Finn that we have not seen before.
Yeah. It did seem to come out of nowhere, because he's usually been, again, he needed to be sort of directed or led to the point of manipulating people.
Yeah.
And this was kind of on his own, and it was a little uncomfortable to see.
Yeah, Emma kind of put the idea in his head that he should try to get a singing scholarship, because it would be easier to get than a football scholarship, which I don't believe for a second. But he put this idea in his head, and so he decided he needs to get Rachel back into Glee, and ends up pretty much seducing her to try to get her back into Glee. I don't want to say it made me lose any love for Finn, but it was certainly like, it was certainly more manipulative than we've seen him in the past. I don't know. What did you think of Finn this episode, Ed?
There was nothing wrong with what he did. He was out for blood. He saw the trajectory he was going in, and he needed something big and something soon to change it. So I completely validate everything he did. It was total bloodlust. Emma gave him the idea, and you know what? He doesn't even, like, I know he thinks it's his kid, and, like, my friends were like, that's wrong, and I'm like, no, it isn't. He sees what's gonna happen, and if freaking making out with Rachel Berry 3 more times, and maybe more, like, makes it happen, it's totally worth it in the end. So
your argument is the end justifies the means in this case.
Totally, without a doubt.
And I'm not saying that I would begrudge anybody that. It just seems like such a leap for him. And I know he's going through extreme stuff right now. And I guess I never really thought about the fact of whether or not he really believes that it's his or not. But, I mean, knowing that his dad left and other men in his life have left, he's not going to leave this kid.
So yeah, he even definitely if he seems does, dedicated.
Yeah, even if he does think for half a second that it's not his, he would still do the same thing. I don't know. It's just, again, I understand why characters would do that, or people would, you know, do these, you know, crazy things to get what they need in life. It just seemed like such a leap for him.
It did seem pretty far for his character. Now, we did say that this is a bit more manipulative than we've seen in the past, but I did get a sense that Emma was kind of pushing him into doing something a bit more drastic. I mean, she was putting the idea in his head. Like, she came right out and said, if you don't want to be the type of guy that gets stranded here,
yeah,
you
with
need
the wife,
to
kid you didn't want.
Be successful.
Which, and I understand that, and she's looking out for him from, you know, a counselor's standpoint. But she never said, you know, manipulate some girl who has feelings for you and break her heart.
It's true.
Like, that's the thing. It just seems like...
It isn't like he doesn't like her. He likes her
he
a little
bit. He definitely likes her.
So it's not, like, completely illegitimate.
I think that Finn likes Rachel a lot more than he's currently letting on. I really think that...
He can't like her right now because he's committed because of the baby. That isn't his.
He definitely has fun with her. I mean, it's not as many rules with her as it is with Quinn. So.
There aren't as many rules.
Well,
are you trying to say that Rachel puts out? Is that what you're
saying? No, I'm not even talking about sexually. I'm just talking about, well, you know, Quinn had that list of rules. Well, Ed, what was the things? You know, we're not going to not be king and queen.
Oh,
at
yeah,
the
yeah. I'm not giving up my shiny crowns and my titles for you to have fun. People think you're gay now.
Yeah.
You know what that makes me? Your gay beard.
See? She puts a lot of pressure on him. With Rachel, he can just be himself.
That is very true. And I mean, I do think that that's why there is real potential for a Finn-Rachel relationship, is because yeah. she does allow him to be himself. And not only that, but she kind of brings
encourages.
Out, yeah, she brings out those elements of his personality that I think he wants to nurture rather than the cliche of a blonde girlfriend.
Yeah.
Which was another great line. So the other side of this is Rachel, being pulled away from the play by Sandy, who has apparently become this obsessively crazy director, calling her, saying that everything is bad and horrible.
Yeah.
That wasn't enough Sandy for you, though, Ed. You said you needed more Sandy this episode.
No, it wasn't, I don't know. I guess I like sad Sandy, because all my favorite Sandy moments are when he's sad.
Yeah, when he's vulnerable and insecure.
But aggressive Sandy is no fun.
Yeah. I totally agree with you, because, again, for the short amount of time that he was there, it wasn't the amount of time. It was just that you only saw one side, and he was mean. He was very mean.
So when we were watching that, there was Rachel had the line for Sandy, "I know what you're trying to do. You're trying to make me quit the play so that you can play the lead." And we both got a good chuckle out of it. But I've seen that happen where, like, the old creepy director kind of subconsciously or consciously forces their lead out of the play because there's no other way they could justify giving the lead to themselves, given their age or, quite frankly,
talent.
Inappropriate level of talent. But I've seen that happen in community theater, so that made me laugh. It was a very Waiting for Guffman moment.
Oh, God.
You forgot the rest of the quote from there, and then when she finishes that tirade, she's like, "I'm not going anywhere. I'm not going anywhere," and then Sandy's like, "Obviously," and I go,
"Oh, I know." That was mean.
I was like, "You slap that."
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sandy was kind of on fire this time.
Yeah, this power thing has gone to his head.
And it'll be interesting to see what happens with the play now. I mean, without Rachel, are we going to have no play? Or what will Sandy's role be? Because he has to.
Sally Bowles.
Oh, my God. If they had a scene of Cabaret with Sandy as Sally Bowles, Emmy.
Oh, he would wear stockings and the little black dress.
I would make an Emmy in the kitchen and send it to Stephen Tobolowsky to see that. That would be genius.
We can make an Emmy-shaped candle.
So good. So yeah, it'll be really interesting to see. I mean, I guess Rachel has officially rejoined Glee, so
she
that's
has
exciting.
Very, very humbly.
She wasn't gonna come back, honestly. Come on.
Oh, yeah, we knew she was eventually, but I honestly didn't think it was going to happen this quickly. So
I didn't either, and I didn't think she'd warm up to Finn as much as she did.
Yeah, she did. She did make a turn.
Yeah.
She forgave him pretty quick. But I think she forgave him kind of for... She didn't really forgive his actions, but she said she kind of understood why he did it.
Mm-hmm.
And was willing to help him achieve the goals. So.
And the team. But
she's awesome.
Well, I don't know. Again, I still think she's being kind of self-serving, because I think she really meant it, that being the star didn't bring her the happiness that being part of this group, part of the ensemble,
yes,
with their group of friends gave her. So
towards the end of the episode, we got Kristen Chenoweth performing Last Name with the rest of the Glee class and cast.
Yeah.
And here is that performance.
No clue what I was getting into, so I blame it on the quiver. Oh, where did my manners go? And I don't even know his last name. Oh, my mama would be so ashamed. It started off, "Hey, cutie, where are you from?" And then it turned into, "Oh, no, what have I done?" And I don't even
So the continuing plot of Finn, Quinn, and Puck.
Yeah.
We got some great moments of Quinn running around, vomiting.
Well, Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
What I didn't like about how the whole coming out of the pregnancy, it felt very unnatural, and I didn't like the questioning of who the father was. I mean, the logical conclusion would be Finn, so why did it even come up as a question? I feel like they were just like trying to put Puck like the writers were trying to put Puck on the spot, but it's like I didn't like how that happened went down.
I was really surprised that he gave her up so quickly, especially being the father and supposedly having feelings for her and caring for the baby. I'm really surprised that he just threw it out there like that. And the other thing, go ahead.
No, see, I'm like talking over you, but maybe he's trying to guilt her into telling the truth.
Maybe. Okay, yeah.
I can believe that.
Okay, forcing her hand to admit what's going on.
But I would say, I don't think that Puck has feelings for Quinn. I just think he wants to be father. Like, he doesn't want Finn to be the father of his kid.
No, I totally got the feeling from last week's show that he had feelings for her. And, you know, maybe it is a control thing, maybe it is a paternal thing, I don't know, but I totally got that he had feelings for her. But the other reaction that I didn't understand was how happy Kurt was to find out that Finn was the dad.
Yeah, and that was a little weird.
I mean, he was a little too chipper about that for a guy he has feelings for.
Yeah, that was a little odd. I think that it was supposed to be he was really excited about some form of scandal. Like, it was more the gossip that he was excited about, but I totally agree. It was very awkward to have Kurt, like, so excited about this pregnancy, especially considering, like, what kind of craziness it's going to bring to the club, to the Glee Club.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a bit odd. I don't know. How did you feel about that part, Ed?
As I said, I just found it awkward, and it didn't make sense to me, and I didn't like it.
So
we didn't get a whole lot about the pregnancy, just kind of the what Finn is willing to do to keep, you know, to take care of his kid, and we haven't gotten a lot about what Quinn is doing and how she's experiencing that, so hopefully that'll come up in the next one with Terry.
I thought there'd be a little bit more interaction with them and a little bit more scheming on Terry's part.
Yeah.
Really interesting.
Yeah, that's certainly on its way. There was a great quote, I guess, Chris Colfer, who plays Kurt. I have to, of course, verify that.
Shuffle through the Rolodex again.
Chris Colfer, who plays Kurt, his quote was, he told the LA Times about working with Kristen Chenoweth. Working with Kristen is what I can imagine a priest would go through if they worked with Jesus.
Wow.
That's quite positive.
That is. But how cute was drunk Kurt?
Oh my God.
Oh, Bambi.
Oh, Bambi, I cried when your mother was shot by the hunter. That was awesome.
That was really great. Yeah, I mean, Kurt continues to be like this great character that I can't quite get enough of. I don't know. Yeah. If he was the centerpiece of the show, it wouldn't be as entertaining, but every minute he's on screen, he's fantastic. A couple other great quotes. What did we have? Great quotes from the show. Rachel chick makes me want to set myself on fire, but she can sing. Was Puck's quote. Let's see. April saying, do you have any NyQuil? I could use a pick me up.
Yeah.
That was a good one. Did you catch any quotes off the show tonight, Ed?
One that you didn't, that we haven't noted, mentioned yet was, when Finn was like, do you know what we should do? And Rachel, very excitedly responded.
Elope.
Hello?
And it's like, awesome. It's such a great idea, Rachel.
The show is so quick. I mean, like Josh was like, had his head down and taking notes. And I'm like, no, you have to rewind that. You have to watch everybody's face. You've got to watch every reaction. everything, like, everything means something in the show.
Yeah, we had to watch it right before recording the show tonight because we wanted to get it out as quick as possible. So I didn't get a chance to watch the show twice. So I'm thinking I'm going to sit down with my book and I'll just write down all the best one-liners so we can talk about them on the podcast. And it really came down to, like, every second line is a great one-liner that I wanted to write down, and there just was not enough time. So we'll have to do that. I don't know. There's got to be a secret. Something like this. Let's see here. No, there was the whole thing about the bowling. Like, the bowling was a really cool scene. And it was neat to see kind of the lines between those two relationships. Listener Sarah emailed us about the bowling. She had a good line in here, but I don't remember what it was. Anyway. So listener Sarah emailed us about the bowling and as well as the show. She said, and don't you love it how Rachel, Finn, April, and Will were at the bowling alley at the exact same time? She says that she was disappointed with the lack of attention to characters like Artie, Tina, and Kurt.
Yeah.
How did you guys feel we needed more from them?
Well, I'm starting to feel like we need to see something about Artie. You know, like, again, last couple of weeks, everybody... There's been more screen time for the other original Glee Club members, but Artie's the one that we still don't really see anything about. So that's kind of disappointing.
It's almost hard to call him a member of the club, too, because he spends most of the time playing the guitar. Mm. What do you think about Artie, Ed?
We know Artie. Like, we don't know Artie, but we know Artie. You know who we don't know? Two random guys that came in with Puck. We literally don't know them. We don't know them at all.
You looked up their character names, didn't you?
I was trying to. I found one of them. It was one of them is Mike Chang, and I'm assuming this Matt guy is the other one.
Yeah, I mean, I guess they're football players, so we can make certain generalizations about them. Yeah,
but we can't. We don't know them.
Right. No, it's like the cheerleaders that.
Yeah, they're kind of just filling
the
area.
Sort of slipped in, but.
No, Brittany's special because she somehow appears at Kurt's house randomly doing single lady dances.
That's true. Yeah,
that was awesome.
And the other one, which is Santana, she's more of I could definitely tell if it came down to Quinn choosing between Santana's or Brittany's life. Bye-bye, Brittany.
she's definitely favors Santana more.
And they had a... Santana actually got a line... Or not a line to speak tonight, but Will, Mr. Schuster, mentioned her and said, we'll just have to split the lead between Mercedes and Santana.
Yeah, we'll have them come up to kind of cover Quinn's vocals. And I was kind of confused. Yeah, and I was like, kind of confused. I'm like, Santana, the... guitar player guy?
yes, he's gonna come on.
I got a little confused. Yeah. Michelle Grant. They're just gonna crank Santana so that they can't hear the music.
So, and Sarah actually had one, she had a favorite quote for the episode was, I'm sleeping with him, so am I. doing the lines from Cabaret.
Yes.
That's an extremely famous line from Cabaret. So there was one more big number in the show. This is Somebody to Love. My computer's going, I don't want to play. We had Somebody to Love, which was performed by the Glee cast. This was really fun. This was their second act as the Glee Club when Rachel rejoined the team.
It was great to see them all together.
Yeah, it really was. So here's Somebody to Love with lead vocals by Leah Michelle and Corey Monteith.
Till I ache in my bones at the end.
I
take home my heart and pay all of my loans.
I get down on my knees and I start.
some reason, I don't know why this jumped out at me, but the dance to this was really funny because I got the sense Corey Monteith doesn't do a lot of walking in boots, because he was doing the classic, like, where you kind of hunch over because you're not really sure how to stand in heels.
Oh, yeah. So. He was doing a lot of squatting. It was kind of awkward.
He didn't quite have the moves down, but that whole number was just awesome. It was great to see everybody together. It was great to see another Lea Michele, Corey Monteith duet. It was great to see Will and Emma next to each other. This whole number was just like everything I wanted from Glee. So it was very exciting. Ed, somebody to love?
Absolutely loved it. It just like shocking to me, like how we're getting into this, like this was the big number, and also the Don't Stop Believing. They're probably the two highest charting songs on the chart after the show, like on Billboard. And it's just like, are we somehow reviving like rock, like opera, not rock opera, that's the wrong word. Big rock numbers.
Balance. Yeah.
Epics? I don't know how to say it. There's a word to describe
it. It's very operatic rock. I mean, both those songs are very operatic kind of pop rock songs. No, your point is very well taken. I kind of think we are. I mean, people are obsessed with Journey.
Yeah.
Which is weird. I don't get that either.
I'm not a big fan, but people are obsessed with Journey, and they very much have this kind of like opera rock thing.
Yeah. Well, actually, the whole thing with Journey and Don't Stop Believing, it stems from the finale of The Sopranos.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that was all everybody could talk about for weeks and weeks. But that really brought that song back and brought Journey back. So a lot of people have been kind of going with that. The Dodgers now, that's their theme song, apparently.
Yeah, they play it like in the eighth inning
when they're down by a couple of runs and they know they can bring it back.
Yeah, they always play Don't Stop Believing. Yeah, but it was a great number, and it was really, Somebody to Love was really one of the reasons that I think, for me personally, why I watched this show is for numbers like this. So it was really cool to see that, especially since the last couple episodes, there just hasn't been a lot of music to talk about. And this particular episode was just, I mean, four downloadable tracks from one episode is pretty awesome.
Yeah, and the fact, even the songs that were in the last couple of episodes, they weren't these big group numbers. And it's just so much fun to see them all on stage together.
Yeah. So, gosh, that's pretty much all I have for this episode. Do you have anything, Ed?
I'm just thinking about, you know, so I said this was my least favorite episode. I have a lot to say about it, so I don't know. I don't retract that statement, but it may not be at, like, it's hard to, like, if it's your least favorite episode, it's like, you have, like, five amazing things. One of them is the least. I don't know. I'm trying to put the positive spin on it now.
Honestly, I mean, I enjoyed this episode quite a bit. I certainly enjoyed it more than, like, episode 3. Maybe even more than episode 4, just because there was so much more music in it and because it felt more cohesive to me. But I think I might be in the minority after what you guys have said about your, or at least Ed's personal viewpoint than what you said about the Facebook statuses today.
Right.
Let's see what Marcel says. What do you say, Marcel?
Okay. One thing I did notice tonight.
Purr into the microphone.
And I don't know if it changes every week, but so Emma is the guidance counselor, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
So most guidance counselors have brochures, literature.
Oh, they have a
sitting
list
behind
them.
But the one sitting behind her tonight was radon. No, was it radon?
Yeah,
radon.
I saw that. I saw that.
Silent
radon.
Killer. I'm like, wait a second. Shouldn't this be about like drugs or depression or teen pregnancy? Radon, the silent killer. That just cracked me up. I'm like, that's so Emma.
Why not? Why not?
Why not?
So you like to throw up.
Yes.
Yes.
And then, Kurt threw up on me. I went to the hospital. They scrubbed me four times.
Four
emergency showers. They gave me the full silk cord.
That had to be the most. Do you even get that joke, Ed?
Do you even know what silkwood is?
I'm sorry. Should I be offended? Am I offending someone?
Silkwood is a movie that came out in the 80s about...
Early 80s, yeah.
About a...
about a worker at a plant who got exposed to radiation or some sort of radioactivity. And what the company did to cover it up, and you know, like all the medical stuff that she went through afterwards, and all the stuff that the company went to hide what they did to her, it was kind of groundbreaking. And this was Meryl Streep movie with Cher, yes. And it was and it was also one of these, you know, groundbreaking cases for, you know, work safety, but it
famous
was,
80s movie.
It was just pretty funny that, you know, they call it the full silk word.
So the this is off of TV.com. The brochures that Emma keeps in her office are titled "Ouch, That Stings," "Divorce, Why Your Parents Stopped Loving You," "I Can't Stop Touching Myself," "Radon, the Silent Killer," "My Mom's Bipolar and She Won't Stop Yelling," "Wow, There's a Hair Down There," and "So You Like Throwing Up, Understanding and Overcoming Bulimia."
Well, didn't she give that one to Rachel a couple
yes.
weeks ago?
Yes, she did.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I guess I hadn't noticed it before, and I was like, radon?
Yes. The Silent Killer.
I pray that comes to effect at some point.
We used to have them in our dorm. They were always in the front lobby of the dorm, and one of them was something about getting hooked on Delirience.
Oh God!
And they had this little stick figure with this like bubble head and a nose. Again, my friend, he ended up naming his band the Delirience, and they were quite good. But it was like,
that's a good name for a band.
It is a good name for a band. They were really good.
Well, I think that's about it for the group. If you'd like to email us, you can do so at gleefulpodcast@gmail.com. You can check out the website, which is www.gleefulpodcast.com, but there's really not a whole heck of a lot to see there just yet.
Except for Pretty Banner.
Pretty Banner, so, yes. Thank you very much.
Pretty Banner. Yes, thank you.
Go ahead, Ed.
Well, I have some things.
Oh, go ahead.
I don't know why. Okay. Glee Tweet of the Week is from Kurt, and his tweet is, "Does anyone know if Anderson Cooper is single?" So that's the Glee tweet of the week. And I need to thank so JFreaky3D, Bauer, Topcat, Bookishly Fab, Hannah Matt, Hulu, CMS, iHeartGlee, Danny Aaron, Miss May, KKS, Viv Nemo, Ashley. Yeah, that's everyone. Thank you for reviewing us on iTunes, and we would really appreciate if you would also review us on iTunes, and also I'd really like to thank you all for giving us a top 5 spot in iTunes on an audio podcast for TV and film this week, and it's exciting, and I'm very proud to be a part of this.
Wow.
It is really exciting. The listeners and the reaction and everything has been great, and all over this silly little TV show, so it's really fantastic and exciting.
And the crazy thing, it's just, you know, three friends sitting around talking about a show we really love. So
yeah, pretty
it's
much.
So much fun for us. I feel kind of selfish.
Yeah, the only difference is that we schedule it and hit record. So, you can check out our other podcast. Ed, your other podcast is entitled American Idol 7 in Heaven.
Yes.
And you can search for that on Google to find Ed. You can also email Ed directly at ai7inheaven@gmail.com. And Josh and Jen, our other podcast is entitled The Idol Review, and you can find that at www.theidolreview.com. And we're a bit behind there, but we're getting married next week, so
yeah.
Freaking cut us a slack.
And you can find out all this contact information on the show notes, right, Josh?
Yes, yeah, so all the contact information is on the website, so we have lots of information. That's pretty much it. Jennifer, you got anything else?
I'm good.
Ed?
I guess I'm good. Oh, no, next week, I've been waiting for this ever since I heard the clip of it over the summer. The Halo Walking on Sunshine mashup that Rachel Berry is going to do. I've heard it, and I'm waiting to see it.
I can't wait.
Oh.
That sounds awesome.
We'll have to figure out when to do a show. We might have to do it at, like, 2 in the morning or something.
We'll figure it out.
We'll make it happen.
For the Gleeful Podcast, I've been Josh.
I'm Jen.
I've been Ed. Jazz hands, OM Glee, peace out.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
It's annoying.
Sometimes.